Genesis chapter number 3. My heart was stirred this past week at our missions revival. Man, there was just a good spirit here. Brother Ellis, man, he was going on and on at his camp meeting about how much he enjoyed our church and the spirit and the liberty to preach and all those things. And he was just super, real, real excited about it. Brother Jonathan went back and told him about the little video we did on Sunday showing our mission field. Amen. And he said he wants me to put something together for him on that, for like his church or something. But these missionaries come in. There's some of them, they'll come in and they'll do one of those videos. And when they get done, man, I'm crying and I want to go there. Like, man, I want to go to that mission field. And those people do need the Lord. And so I don't know if it was in, you know, how it went over or whatever Sunday, but I wanted to show us that we have a mission field here. And we have those kids, you know, we looked in their eyes and all that kind of stuff. And Sarah's like, you should put that on Facebook. I said, well, if I put that on our church Facebook page, some mother might go there and go, that's my kid and she's saved. I don't know why you're using her on there for a... But I was trying to show that there's people that need the Lord out here. Amen? They don't need religion. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something we got to give them. So, all right, let me just do this for a few minutes tonight. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, we're doing Rightly Dividing the Word. And the study we're doing within Rightly Dividing the Word is going over dispensations, different time periods where God dealt differently with man, different economies of God, and there's different stewards for each one. And right now we're looking at Adam and Eve there in the beginning. And the first dispensation we covered last week, and all these are being recorded if you want to get a hold of them, if you missed any of them. And they're also there, you can watch them on Facebook. They're all on our church website there. But last week was the dispensation of innocence. The dispensation of innocence. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they sinned against God. And we looked at that one. So this week, I'm going to try to cover, and I'll probably just cover one tonight, and go over this one. It's the dispensation of conscience. The dispensation, the time period of conscience. And as you go through the Bible, you can see that it's pretty evident how God deals differently in different situations throughout the Bible. It's not all the same. God deals differently. He gives man different opportunities. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 23. This is the start of the dispensation of conscience. So Adam and Eve are in the garden. They partake of the tree of what? What was that tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, it was the knowledge of good and evil. So when they partook of that tree, now for the first time in their life, they have the knowledge of what good and evil is. God walks up to them, and he starts talking to them, and they're hiding. God said, why are you hiding? They said, because we're naked. How do you know you're naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? And then he goes, the woman made me do it. And she said, the serpent made me do it. And the serpent looked around and goes, well, there's nobody else for me to blame. And so, but when they ate that, they received a conscience. Every single person, when they reach the age of accountability, and the reason why I say when they reach the age of accountability, because I really truly believe that there's some people that never reach that age. I mean, mentally, you know, through some kind of medical condition or whatever, and if someone's got something else on that they want to show me sometime, that's fine. I think there's some people that never reach that age. I mean, they're born with some kind of retardation or something. I'm not talking about the teenage boys. I'm talking about a real situation. Hey, man, they're not smiling. Bro, I got to tell you this real quick. Brother Bud Ring was at Glory Land this past week. This past Sunday, they had a big deaf day. They invited deaf to the church and had a big day. And so they had it, and he preached to those deaf that were there and to the church, and he did sign language, right? Well, they get done, and Brother Scott's dismissing in prayer, and he prays, Lord, I pray that the message tonight did not fall on deaf ears. he said he hears the church just die laughing. He goes, what did I do? And he didn't even think about it. So they get back, and they're having a fellowship, and somebody came up to us and said, bro, preacher, do you know what you just did? He goes, no, what did I do? He said, you just prayed that that message wouldn't fall on deaf ears. So he went to the interpreter, Brother Bud, and he's like, you didn't interpret that to them, did you? He goes, no. Gotta watch what you're praying, amen? And, all right, I got to get back on here. And so I really believe, though, there's people that never reach that age of accountability. I mean, they go through their whole life. You say, what happens to them? I think when they die, they're going to heaven. They don't ever reach that age. Some of these little kids back here, you know, Marissa and Emma running around here, Elijah's starting to get to that age where he's starting to understand a little bit of things. And I mean, he's asked the Lord to save him about 20 times. He has, but one day it's going to be real and it's going to click. Amen. I remember when it did for Ella, and she's 7 years old, but I remember that day where it hit her. But you start getting that conscience, and they understand what's right, they understand what's wrong, they understand the consequences, they know what sin is, and they start getting to that age. There's some people that never reach that. There are some people that have the mind of like Emma and Marissa running around, and they're 30, 40 years old. They never get there. And, you know, I don't know what y'all think about that or not, but I just think they're going to heaven. If they were to die, they're going. Amen. And that's the same with babies. They said, where do babies? Babies, they're going to heaven. Amen. They have not reached the age of accountability. And so when Adam and Eve here in the garden, they partook of that fruit. And it's a whole other Bible study for another time. I believe it was a grape. I believe it was grapes. And so they ate that. At that time, they received their bloodstream. And the Bible says, in the day you eat of there, you shall surely die. The dying process began there. They began to die. And they died spiritually. They began to die physically. And they received the knowledge of good and evil. God gave them a conscience. So the dispensation of conscience begins here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible says, therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He did that so that they could not go back in there and partake of that tree of life. If they were to do that, they'd live forever. And so he said, no, you disobeyed me. You took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil like I told you not to. Now, they could have eaten of this other tree, but they didn't. He said, any tree you can eat of except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they partook of that. So in your Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 through Genesis 6, 12, that is what covers the dispensation of conscience. We have it up here. I realize I said I had this chart and I'm pointing at stuff, and half the folks told me they can't read it when I'm pointing at it. So, but it's up here if you want to come look at it. And I'm getting some printed up. Genesis 3:23 through Genesis 6:12 covers this time period of the dispensation of conscience. And I've had people ask me, hey, Brother Hotch, have you ever had anybody ask you, where is the Garden of Eden today? And where's the tree of life? Amen. The Bible doesn't say where it is. God must took it to heaven. Amen. He's going to bring it back down when he's ready for it. Is that right? Or do what? Yeah, coming down from heaven. You say, what did God took? Must have taken it out of here, because I'm sure that if people could find it, they'd worship it. If they could find it, they would worship it. And if they did find it and it was still here, there'd be two cherubims standing there with flaming swords keeping everybody out. Amen. I think God took it out of here. He'll be bringing it back. All right, so this dispensation begins with Adam's life outside of the garden. God removed them from the garden. They had the dispensation of conscience of good and evil. This dispensation ends with the announcement of Noah's flood. It begins with Adam's life outside of the garden, and it ends with the announcement of Noah's flood. I told you there's different covenants associated with some of the dispensations. And so we find a covenant here with this dispensation. It's called the Adamic covenant. And it was God's instructions to Adam outside of the Garden of Eden. This covenant was unconditional. It was unconditional. All right, look at Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at some of these things that God told Adam and Eve that they would have to go through because of the sin in the garden. And these things were unconditional. It doesn't matter what man does, it's unconditional. These things are going to happen. Remember, I told you there's conditional, and that's based off of something man does, then God will respond. And then there's unconditional, where it doesn't matter what man does, it's going to happen. This is an unconditional covenant that was made, the Adamic covenant. Look there in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 16. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So the woman is going to have multiplied sorrow and in her conception. In sorrow, she's going to have conception. So this is one thing God said is going to happen, and it's still happening today. Amen, ladies? Can I get an amen? Amen? It's still happening today. And all of it started back there in the Garden of Eden. It all started. We're going to get to the men in a second. Women's going to have multiplied conception, multiplied in sorrow. They're going to bear children in sorrow. Another thing that God told her there in verse number 16, at the end of the verse, he said, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's not popular, but that's Bible. And a part of the Adamic covenant was the woman will be in subjection to her husband. God said because of how this thing went down, because of what the woman did, she was going to be in subjection to her husband. That's never stopped. Amen. No matter what the women's rights say, or the lady in Lowe's that I talk to. Not a good Lowe's conversation, just put it that way. But the woman will be in subjection to her husband. That's something that God put down. And so, and that goes all the way through. We can go to the New Testament, we can read in Ephesians, where God is dealing through Paul with the church and the family. And if a wife wants to have the blessings of God in her life and in her home, the only way she can truly have those blessings of God is if she is in subjection to her husband. Amen. That's the only way. If the man does his part, the woman does her part. And he has a part to do too. He has to love her just like Christ loved the church. And time and time again, when I've counseled with people, the lady or the man will say, well, if she does her part or if he does his part, that's not what the Bible says. You do your part, God will bless you, God will take care of him. Amen. And God will take care of her too. Just do your part and you pray. But ladies, this is a part of the Adamic covenant that a woman will be in subjection to her husband. So there. All right. And then also a part of this Adamic covenant, the ground was cursed. The ground was cursed. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thou bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So because of this sin... The part of this Adamic covenant is the ground was cursed. If you've ever tried to do a garden or you've ever tried to plant anything, you know it takes work to get food to come out of that ground. You've got to kill the weeds. You've got to get the bugs off of it. I mean, it is a lot of work to get some food. Amen. And I like a garden, especially when people just bring it to me. Amen. I like it. I mean, we have these big buckets we had at the other house, and I'm gonna try to plant them out here. Like, try to plant some peppers in them and stuff, and try to do some tomatoes. And I think it's neat. A full fledged garden, though, I find it when I go into Walmart and I turn left there, and they got the produce section right there. There's my garden, amen. But I like a garden, but it's gonna take a lot of work. There's gonna be, man. I get out there in the yard, and one thing I don't like doing, but it's got to be done: weed eating. Amen. Every time I mow my grass, that's all I'm doing is weed eating at this new house. That's all it is weeds just growing. Amen. I got to get that fixed. Got to get Brother Richie over there to help me get some grass to grow or something. But that curse of the ground and man having to work and sweat, you get out there and you work and you do things. Someone tonight told me, I think Brother Hunter or something, said, man, you've been sweating. What are you doing? Well, it's because I'm fat and I'm trying to kill ants. Amen. But all this sweat, it's because of that curse. It's because of this Adamic covenant. Because of this sin, the Adamic covenant, the wages of sin is introduced to Adam and Eve right here. The The wages, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, something has to die. This concept, this doctrine, was introduced to Adam here in the garden. We find here, it was introduced there that they had to kill something. That lamb had to be killed to cover up their sin. And the Bible also there says, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat the bread, till thou return it to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You know what God was telling them? Because of sin, you're going to die. And you're going to go right back into that dirt. Y'all have heard me say it before, and I believe a preacher said it a few years ago preaching here, that we're nothing but a bunch of animated dirt balls. That's all we are, a bunch of animated dirt balls. We'll be dust, and we're going to go right back to the dust when we die. And that was a part of that Adamic covenant. He said, hey, we're all, the wages of sin is death. We are born, we start to grow, and the dying process starts. Amen? That's just what happens. Another part of this Adamic covenant, verse number 14, the serpent is cursed to crawl on his belly and eat dust. And eat the end of an axe. Amen? That's not in there, but I added that. Do what? A shovel, whatever you can get a hold of. Just don't be like my last pastor, Brother Charlie. He found one in the house, and all he could find was a gun. So we had to patch holes because he was just blowing holes trying to kill that snake. He cannot stand a snake at all. And he just shot up his floor, so we had to go fix that. All right, Genesis 3:14, the Bible says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And so that serpent was cursed to crawl on his belly and eat dust. And, man, I'm not a big snake fan. You know, I guess some rat snakes are supposed to be good. They eat mice and all that, but I don't like snakes. Hey, man, I don't care nothing for them. There's people that got them as pets. Got these pet snakes. And, you know, I guess if you got one of those, they say if it ever lays in bed next to you and it goes long ways, it's sizing you up trying to eat you. Hey, man, I don't want nothing eating me. All right. The Bible says also here in verse number 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a promise that the seed of the woman would bruise Satan's head. That took place on Calvary, amen. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ, and we'll get into that later. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, born of a virgin's womb, and he bruised Satan's head, and it bruised his heel there on the cross, amen. All right, the plan of salvation in this dispensation, the dispensation of conscience, was faith plus works. They had the example of the Garden of Eden to go on. They just had, they knew there in the Garden of Eden that they sinned against God, they did wrong, there was a sacrifice given, but now God has given them a conscience. Before they partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they did not have the knowledge of good and evil. They couldn't discern between the right and the wrong and the good and the evil. Well, now they have this conscience, and God gave them that conscience to tell them what was right and what was wrong. And you know, most adults today, they don't have a conscience. They have seared their conscience. In this world, they have seared their conscience to the point that it doesn't bother them at all. I remember when I was little, going through Walmart or something, and, you know, you can't go anywhere near the ladies' garment section or even the men's garment section, the undergarments, because there's naked pictures of these people on this stuff. They got it up on signs and stuff. Going through there when I was little, my mom would always try to take me the other way around so I didn't look at none of that stuff. And it seems like I remember some of the first times I ever seen it, I'd blush, you know, just get real. You know what that was? That was your conscience saying, this isn't right. This isn't good. Well, now it doesn't bother us at all. See it on television. We see it in the stores. We don't blush one time. It used to be when you hear somebody cussing or hear them cussing around a lady, there's something in you that would bother you. Well, don't bother us no more. What is that? It's your conscience seared. Your conscience seared. Turn over to Romans chapter number 2. We're going to go back to Genesis in just a second. Romans chapter number 2. The dispensation of conscience. God gave them a conscience that would either excuse or unexcuse them. We're going to see that right here. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and look at verse number 1. God gave them a conscience to discern what was right and what was wrong. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." There's no excuse. "O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same thing." Look at verse number 11. I want you to see that man is without excuse. "Thou art inexcusable, O man." And he goes on in this chapter, in verse number 11, to say, "For there is no respect of person with God. For as many as have sinned without law also perisheth without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law," these are people that did not have the law, "do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." They had a conscience that now told them what was right and what was wrong. They're there in the garden. They're naked. That's how God created them. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the first thing they realized was, "I'm naked. I need to cover up." God said, "How'd you know you're naked?" They realized that was wrong. Now they have a conscience to tell them what is right and what is wrong that God's given them. They have that now because they partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They have this conscience that's now excusing them or unexcusing them. And so God's going to judge them based off of that. That's what God's given them. So the plan of salvation there, they have the example of the Garden of Eden to go off of, and now they have a conscience to tell them what to do, what's right, and what's wrong. Look at Genesis chapter number 6. I told you every dispensation begins with the grace and mercy of God, and every dispensation ends with man's disobedience and God's judgment. Man's disobedience and God's judgment. Okay, so God gives them a conscience. Every person born after Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve's children and so forth that are born, they're born and they reach a certain age, they receive their conscience that tells them what's right and what's wrong. That's what they're given. Same way with children today. They're born, they reach a certain age, God gives them a conscience. You know, when they reach that certain age and that they start reaching up to steal that cookie out of the cookie jar and their heart's beating 90 to nothing and they know it's not right, amen, they're starting to realize, hey, this is right, this is wrong. Emma, and I know Riss is probably the same way right now, and some of these other little ones, whenever you tell them, "Don't touch that, it's hot," amen, they know not to touch it because it's hot, but they really don't understand the full consequence of it, and they really don't understand why. You just say, "Don't touch." You reach up there, you smack their hand, and they want to look and see if you're looking so they can reach up there and touch it again. Amen. Just out of curiosity. But they really don't understand why. They get a little older, and they understand, hey, you could end up hurting yourself for the rest of your life by touching that thing. And they start understanding right and wrong and all those things. So man, here we find that they disobey God, and they did every evil thing they could imagine and every evil thing they could think of. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. Genesis 6, 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." The Bible says that God repented. He said, "I'm sorry for making man." He repented that he even created man, and it's because God gave them a conscience and they did every evil thing they could imagine and that they could think of. You know what we're doing today? Every evil thing we can imagine and think of. We're doing the same thing today. If they can dream it up, they'll do it. they can imagine it, they'll do it. I was talking to some preachers over there doing some work on some of their buildings and stuff, and they were talking about, well, I'd like to do a certain thing with a video where we could be preaching and they could be watching the video in the nursery, but the nursery's over in another building. And I was like, well, you know what? With the way they're doing things today, you probably could do it without any wires, because man has thought up just about everything. But it goes evil also. Anything evil imaginable, they're trying to come up with it. Well, God gave them their conscience to guide them, their conscience to excuse or unexcuse them. And instead of obeying their conscience and obeying God and doing the right thing, they did every evil thing they could imagine. And it said God repented that he created man. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. You want to grieve God? Have a wicked imagination and wicked thoughts. Amen. I don't want to grieve God. Do you? I don't want to grieve him. But here it says that it grieved God's heart. So man's disobedience. You say, what about the judgment of God? Look at verse number 11. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. I mean, I feel like I'm reading a story, a newspaper article for today. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So we have the dispensation of conscience ends with man's disobedience. God's judgment is to destroy man and to destroy the earth. And now you have Noah's flood. God comes through there and he wipes everybody out and says, we're going to start all over again. And man ends up getting another opportunity. You know, God could have justifiably just wiped everybody out, including Noah and his family. He could have killed them all and been justified in doing it. But he had mercy and he had grace. And he gives man another opportunity. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the dispensation, the economy of human government. After the ark, they get off the ark. God tells Noah how he wants things to be, and he establishes a human government. He wants them to govern one another. I gave you innocence in the garden, and you messed that up. I gave you a conscience. You did every evil thing imaginable. Now I want you to govern one another. And we're going to see how that ends up also later on when we get into that. So next week, Lord willing, we'll look at that. Let's all stand. All right, Trapper.